I love you more than anything. I just forget you exist.
Right. There are people that can pull that off.
Yeah, sounds like a riot.
I am not one of those people.
I just broke it off with a nemesis.
Lance Bass was the one member of NSYNC that I really did like.
Being intolerant of lactose, that's not very liberal of you.
No.
Being tampons and Band-Aids and Benadryl.
I knew this question was coming, and I still don't have a great answer.
I feel happier around you. Do you want to be happy together some more?
You want more advice, dole it out gladly. You want bad advice, man, I'll give it out gladly.
I got some good advice for ya.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
What's up, everybody? This is Professor Chesko, the speech prof, and this is Bad Advice Wednesdays, the show where myself and a guest will attempt to ruin your life. I used to say, by the way, that we will attempt not to ruin your life, but that's not true, right? We are purposefully giving bad advice on this show, and that's your warning, right? So just don't listen to us the second part of the show, and maybe the first half too. We'll see how this goes. And that is fair warning. I think I don't need to keep on saying that over and over anymore. But the first half, before we get to ruining your life, I think it's important to get to know the person who will be doing the ruining alongside me. Today's guest is Ben Silbert. And Ben, the interesting thing about Ben for me, for a lot of people don't know this, and I don't even know if Ben knows this, is he is one of the reasons I'm still making content right now. I was not, the ADHD thing, I tend to, move on, especially if things are not getting, I'm not getting the dopamine fix, I'm not getting the same enjoyment out of something. And when I was still a pretty small creator, Ben created a Discord and invited me into it with all these other amazing people that I had not even seen or interacted with very much online. And all of a sudden now, this thing that was just me speaking to a camera by myself in my room, all of a sudden became a social activity, right? And I got to all of a sudden meet these wonderful people like Ben, who at the time I still barely knew. We just knew that we enjoyed each other's content. And all of a sudden now there was this new level of creating content where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to meet these awesome, amazing people around the country that I likely never would have been able to meet. And that is what kind of motivated me to keep on making content so I could keep on meeting these awesome people. And speaking of, so before I could talk about this for a while, we probably will talk about this together in a second, but before I get too off topic, I always have every single one of my guests give them a chance to introduce themselves and just to tell my followers that if they were to come onto your TikTok page, what would they see? What should they be expecting?
Yeah, so I knew this question was coming, and I still don't have a great answer. I think it's like two questions, right? It's like, what kind of content do you make, and why do people follow your content at all? Just like everyone in our friend base, I'm wicked ADHD. My content doesn't necessarily have a through line. It's just whatever my fixation is, whatever my mood is, whatever's going on in the news. But I think that the reason people stick around is they like the way that I process. Like, it doesn't matter whether I'm doing a linguistics video, a science video, a politics video. I think that the way that I digest information and the way I speak really quickly, I think that's what gets to people. I've always in my personal life, like something goes on in the news, people come to me, Ben, like what does this mean? I feel like a fraud 90% of the time because I'm like, I'm not doing anything new here. But like, if you can only learn something from me, far be it from me to stop you.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why I think we connected so well early on is I have the exact same problem when somebody asks me that question, like, what's your niche? What's your page about? And I'm like, it depends on what day of the week it is, depends on what I'm reading that day, depends on what I happen to see in the news that day, depends on what somebody asked me in my comment section, right? That we kind of, that's the beauty, I think, of pages that are similar to ours, is that it's hard to explain to someone that has never seen your content that people follow us because they like the way we process information, right? Because what does that mean, right? And I don't think you really do understand it until you follow and you're like, oh, okay, that's, I get it. I enjoy, even if they don't agree, because I have plenty of people that don't agree with, a lot of stuff that I say, but they enjoy seeing the way that I work through things. And I think because of the fact that you or I don't script stuff, they're literally seeing the raw version of us interpreting and making sense of these different other videos, responding or news events in that moment. And I agree, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy following you, because we have a pretty similar viewpoints on the world, but we're not the same person, right? We definitely still process things differently.
Yeah, I feel like you and I are almost two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Your brand is that you're nice. My brand is, it's not that I'm mean, but like I have no problem like taking really hard stands, mm-hmm. saying things that are likely to get me violations and stuff. But it's like we come from the same place,
mm-hmm.
and you come in with like a compassionate understanding, even like when you're being harsh, like very just matter of fact, blunt. And I don't do that, but our ideas and stuff. And it's amazing. Like one of the things that's so great about this Discord and having a bunch of friends on TikTok is that we riff on each other. Like there are so much of my content has literally been like inspired by a video you made. And it's like, oh, I want to say something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Or like we both come to the same thing. The same stupid video that popped up in our feed, the same jerk or whatever. And it's cool to see how much like we have in common, but then also how different it all gets.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't know this about me because my content and everything I do is all over the place, but I actually have a background in education that I don't particularly even care about. But in my master's program, I was like, what do I want to research for my master's thesis and all this stuff? And I settled on positive online communities, which I had noticed at the time there were some Facebook groups that were like really just the only good places that I'd ever been on the internet, which is strange because of, you know, Facebook.
Right. Facebook is Facebook. Yeah.
And so I came up with this theory that specificity is the single greatest predictor of how positively people perceive being in a group. And it's kind of hard to study this sometimes because it's like, it's how do you feel? There's no metric of like, this is a positive group or not, this is an active group or not. But while I was doing that, I looked back at my entire life and I was like, oh, this has always been so important to me. And I didn't realize like the friends that I made on MySpace when I was a depressed teenager in a shitty hometown, the friends I made on LiveJournal or the games that I played online, I've always just been so connected to online culture, because it's like it's hard to find somebody in the real world that I can vibe with. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
Can I the interesting thing about that, you mentioned LiveJournal before, I forget, because I know my brain will jump somewhere else if you talk, but I was thinking about it a lot, and LiveJournal for me has been the closest direct comparison to my experience on TikTok as a creator, right? Where I was so, and it wasn't, you know, I was not, you know, famous or anything on there. I didn't have like hundreds of thousands of followers, but you know, even if it was just a few hundred people that were reading my thoughts and my kind of unfiltered perspective, and then getting to connect with other people that had that same perspective. And you're right. And that specificity that something like LiveJournal or TikTok allowed for in very different ways, ended up with that same kind of thing where I felt like I had a community. And I remember when LiveJournal went away, it really did feel like I lost this huge part of me. And it seems so silly to say, but when you think about it from a community perspective, it absolutely makes sense, right? Because it was a loss, right? It was, and a lot of those people ended up becoming Facebook friends, but there's still a huge chunk of people that I considered my close online friends, right? That we were, you know, we're journaling and sharing these utmost private personal feelings about the world with each other that just disappeared when that went away.
Yeah, that's how I feel about like Tumblr. And the interesting thing is that you don't have to only talk about the thing that brings you together. The fact that you have something that brings you together makes everything easier. I mean, you know this. I'm autistic ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes have a lot of trouble connecting with people. It's really exhausting to explain what my life means, like how I communicate, what being friends with me is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting to like have to constantly repeat that. But then if I don't do that, then there's a chance that like a new friend or something gets me on a bad day and they get scared off. So the fact that I could meet these people on Tumblr and TikTok, and it's like, you get it. Like, I don't have to set the expectation. I had a friend who lives in New York City. We met on TikTok, but we had friends in common. I think we were bound to run into each other eventually. But we were supposed to meet up and write poetry together on a typewriter in a cafe in Brooklyn. Very, very us.
Yeah.
And they sent me a voice note and they were like, hey, heads up, like, I'll definitely still meet you tonight. But I just had like a really weird day. I'm like kind of in a weird headspace. So like if things are weird, like that's not you. This was the first time we were ever going to meet in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent back a note and I was like, go home. What are you talking about? Like, rest.
Right.
And the relief that I heard in their voice when they got back, because we like end up forcing ourselves into uncomfortable situations to try to accommodate other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I don't have to set that expectation, or that we have a shared vocabulary. I don't have to explain what executive function is to somebody who never had to learn what executive function is because they have executive function.
Right.
And it's just so much easier. It lets us hit the ground running, and we have a shared just like a baseline.
And I think that it makes sense why so many of us, especially in the ADHD community, come together. Because I think so much of our life has been spent thinking this is just this weird, quote unquote, negative thing about me.
Yes.
Like this is my personality. I know I'm working on it. But really we didn't realize, that's just literally us. Right. And we shouldn't have to change something that is literally core to our identity just because it makes other people uncomfortable. Right. To an extent. Right.
Yeah.
There are situations where that would necessarily change. Right. But when it comes down to just literally, the way I process information makes you uncomfortable because I tend to I talk a lot, or I will feel free, open with my trauma after just meeting you. Right. That is not something I should necessarily be ashamed of, but it is something that we've been taught to do that. And so meeting other people that do the exact same thing, it feels so, I don't even have a word for it, but it's freeing, I guess, to know that this thing that we have felt, this unspoken, sometimes spoken, but really this unspoken internal shame about, is actually something that other people, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of other people, are literally experiencing day to day, and we had no idea.
Yeah. It's like if you have a mystery sickness,
mm-hmm.
and you find out what it is, the relief, even if it's something terrible or even not that, like when I got my diagnoses for ADHD and autism, there's no treatment for autism, right? Like there's no medication I can take. It didn't functionally change anything in my life, except that it changed everything.
Right.
Just having a word for it, having something that I could point to, and like, looking back at my entire life and be like, oh yeah, aha moment. Like, why didn't anybody see this sooner?
Yeah.
It's great. And you know, there's no excuse for being a jerk or an asshole, even if you're like
right.
mentally ill.
Absolutely.
But there's also like a balance that you find with friends. One of my biggest issues over my life is that I try to set really explicit like expectations of like, this is what my brain does. And like, if I'm having a bad day, if I don't respond or whatever. But I know that like it would be hard to see me on TikTok and be like, yeah, that dude doesn't have
right.
ADHD and autism. But like in my life, people, I'm one of those people that people are like, oh, you're not that autistic. You're not that ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so like something will happen.
I think like people always say that though, also because they don't realize that they'll only met our masking best, right? I may not appear that way because I have spent years perfecting making you comfortable with the things
right.
that are really hard for me. Right.
And I said mm-hmm. this in the beginning. I said, mm-hmm. like, look, I want to be friends with you. I'm being very intentional mm-hmm. with my relationships and my communication. And they're like, great, got it. And then like a year later, it's like, oh, I thought we were best friends. Something happens and we're not, because
mm-hmm.
I just never had a bad day on the day I was talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, even though you said you understand, you didn't internalize it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But that's also why it's so freeing to like have these people. It's also, I have to be very upfront because like, it is really easy to be friends with me when you want something. Like when I'm in my manic highs, it's like, oh, we're going to break onto the roof of the college, or we're going to go to the abandoned highway, or we're going to go to that weird museum, or Ben's going to talk us into the backstage at this concert or whatever. Super easy to be friends with me on those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what about the days where I don't have the energy to respond, or like how many times I've had tickets to shows and just didn't go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to something this week that was like so important to me, and I just couldn't do it.
Right.
I had tickets. I like wanted to more than anything, just can't do it.
Right. And I think part of that is too, it's, I think in learning more about myself and I'm sure for you, like in setting those expectations, right. I think it's important in the sense that when I meet someone new, or I start developing a closer friendship with somebody, it's not me saying, hey, you have to deal with this. It's me saying, this is something I know about myself. I want you to know that if you decide to keep developing this and kind of keep getting closer to me, this is not going to change. Like I'm always going to forget to text you, right? And
yeah,
and
exactly.
And if you're going to be offended by that, I do feel bad that you're offended by that, but
right.
it's not personal, and I need you to know that I am also feeling terrible about not texting you back, or I am also feeling terrible about not having the spoons to go out to this concert or to go to this club or to go to this comedy, whatever it is, right? I need you to know that it's not, I never, you're beautiful, right? Everything about you is wonderful, and I want to spend time with you, but don't take my things as a reflection on me not liking you or wanting to be with you.
I love you more than anything. I just forget you exist.
Right.
Like,
it's such a weird concept for people to grasp that don't have a brain that kind of functions that way.
I mean, they play peekaboo with babies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I'll get a text and, like, I take sleeping medications because even with them, I'm not good at sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll wake up or whatever and I'll see a text and I'll be, like, leery.
Right.
And then I won't respond in that moment. But then the notification is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, I'm like, why didn't somebody ever text me back or whatever? Oh, it's right there.
Right.
Before we get into, like, the bad advice, I will say that the two sort of pieces of good advice that I've come to in dealing with this. The first one is in communication style. I had a really bad breakup, 12 years ago or whatever. And I was like, how did this break down? And I said, okay, good communication is three things. It is honest, it is open, and it is relevant. Like, everybody understands intuitively the honest and open. Honest, the thing you're saying has to be true. Open, it has to be, meaningful. Like, you can say, oh, the sky is blue. Great. That's not the same as saying, like, you hurt my feelings. But relevant is the thing we don't talk about. It has to be when it matters. My deepest fear and insecurity is that I'm going to say something that offends somebody or hurts them, and if they don't let me know, I will go to the ends of the earth to fix it if I know. But I'm chemically incapable sometimes of knowing it. And so if you are like, oh, Ben's just being a jerk, like, he knows what he did, then you've internalized it. You let it fester.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it when it's relevant, not 6 months later or whatever. And so just being like really intentional is the other thing. One of my best friends, we had like a bunch of friends in common, but we weren't that close. And I literally said to her one day, I was like, hey, do you want to become better friends?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, sure. Like toddlers do that. It's so hard to make friends as an adult. But I just said, like, hey, like, let's become better friends. And we just, like, literally set the expectation. Every day, I'm going to send you a song and, like, write a little bit about what it means to me, and you're going to send me one. And then pretty quick, that turned into just, like, oh, I heard this new song, I think you'll like it, turned into memes on every different platform or whatever. It's great. Like we have this aversion to just saying things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we could just work on this. Like, what if we became better friends? Do you want to be the friend I go to the movies with?
That's like I think even other guests about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. And I think that kind of quantifies ADHD or not, right? Autistic or not. It's this idea that we are socialized to say that we can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, I really enjoy being around you. Do you want to go to a movie without it having some ulterior motive, right? Without it having some sort of hidden agenda in there. It's just, no, you. I feel happier around you. Do you want to be happy together some more? and that's it.
Yeah, right.
Right, and that's it. But we can't. And kids do say that.
That's a perfect example of like the ways that neurotypical culture is bad for everybody. Mm-hmm. Because like we see why that's an issue, and we intuitively don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's one of those things. It's like the patriarchy holds back all men, even when it's not actively crushing an individual like it is crushing women.
Right.
The way that we've set up society is like so ultra neurotypical.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird to just say that to somebody, and it shouldn't be.
I could honestly keep talking to you about another hour about this. I feel like we just started talking, but this is obviously Bad Advice Wednesdays. And we heard a little bit of good advice from you. So right, people are off the bat. We're already at a positive note, right? We're already behind schedule here. And so these are, for those of you that might be joining in for the first time, these are questions submitted by my followers with no context, and they with the expectation that we are not going to get good advice. Occasionally, some good advice does slip in here and there because we're like, no, I need to throw this on there. But for the most part, our goal is to give bad advice. And if you follow our instructions, that's on you.
We're not perfectly imperfect. If we accidentally give you some good advice, please don't hold it against us.
Question number one, I want to be the best in the world at something. Any suggestions?
Yeah. So I have this like compulsive need to feel special.
Okay.
I think it's an ADHD thing. So I think about stuff like this all the time. The trick is you suck. Like there's a bell curve, and you are either in the middle or you're on the wrong side of it statistically.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to become the best in the world at something, 10,000 hours, get out of here, Malcolm Gladwell. Nobody has time for that. You need to pick something that no one else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to be the best person in the world at something random. Just like, what's your favorite goblin-themed metal band? guess what? Like, I started a goblin-themed metal band because no one else did it. Now, there are some of those. There's like four or five at least. But you just got to pick something.
Go toward where there's like very little competition. If they don't say best in the world for a long period of time, too. It could just be maybe they find something taking you at something very specific that's also very brand new. So you're searching for stuff like that is just coming out. Something that nobody has heard of, and then you throw every second of your life toward becoming the best at that thing. Maybe for an instant, for a minute, maybe you'll be the best at that thing.
Oh, I just, you know, we all just got on Threads, but I got on there before like a Hank Green or a Neil Gaiman, like these like internet celebrities. Mm-hmm. I was like, I am more famous on Threads than Hank Green, right?
It
now.
Is. Short lived. You know, it's so funny that you say that. I've literally done that before, where there will be a platform where a celebrity has not joined yet for whatever reason.
Yep.
And I'll see, or they have their name, but they haven't posted anything. So they only have like 100 followers or something like that. And for some reason, that brings me so much joy. Knowing that I am more famous than you on whatever this Threads, for instance, or whatever this random app that there's nobody using is on. But for today on Blue Sky, when it was invite only, I had more followers than Taylor Swift.
Nobody wanted to invite Taylor Swift.
The other option, I don't want to keep laboring. Now my mind is stuck on this because I'm like, could I be the best? Because my whole thing, and I've finally come to terms with it in my 40s, is that I've never in my life been, because I surround myself with these amazingly talented people. I just always enjoy, and I see them become the best. My best friend in the world was literally the best speaker in speech and debate in the world. I guess I say in the country, but we're in America, and that was so impressive to see. I never got anywhere close to that, right? I see all these friends doing these amazing singers, poets, musicians doing all these so things where they are literally in the upper echelons, and I've never been that way. It's okay to not be the best, and it was such a hard thing for me to come to terms with. It's okay to just enjoy life. All right, let's hyper focus on another question.
Question next.
I'm going to a grown-up prom. How should I dress?
Okay, this is easy.
Yeah.
Back in Connecticut, where I'm from, one of the great bastions of ska, we would have ska prom, right? And what people would do is make a tux out of duct tape.
I remember seeing this.
It's perfect because, first of all, it means that maybe you're the best person in the world at it. You could jump back into the last question, mm-hmm. like, oh, how many people can make this? But you get sweaty at a dance at prom, especially in like the world of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, making a suit out of a waterproof material like duct tape will make you sweat more, but it will also stop all of your sweat from getting to someone else.
If I could offer another suggestion in case you were not, because I am also horrible at crafts, I would like to suggest my literal two prom tuxedos that I wore, because they are comically late 90s. And I will put, for the people listening to this in audio, I will post this on Instagram for you to see. But so my junior prom, I wore a zoot suit with a giant chain, which, don't get me wrong, there are people that can pull that off.
Yeah, sounds like a riot.
I am not one of those people. And I also at the time had fully bleached blonde spiky hair. And the combination of those two things with the hat and the scarf and all that went into it was just, it was not. So if you have any similarities to me, it would not be the type of thing you could wear without people thinking you're doing it ironically. Oh. There was no irony there, Ben. That was just.
Chesco, when I tell you, I will also send you pictures to post on your okay. Instagram with this. When I tell you that for junior prom, mm-hmm. I wore a Renaissance fair costume.
Beautiful.
And for senior prom, I wore the most ill-fitting suit, but it had been on Miami Vice. It came from the costume department at Miami Vice, which doesn't matter to me at all. I only knew the name,
right.
but it
felt
blue.
Impressive. Yeah,
it's something. I mean, it's been a lot longer than I'd like to admit, and I still talk about it.
Well, my other problem just to get was I don't even know if I have pictures of this. I will have to search for this one. No, I have the other one. Do you remember at the end of Men in Black, the I don't know what it's called, the suit that Will Smith wore when he was officially one of the Men in Black? Seeing it on other people, it never clicked in my head that just because something, and that's, I want to be very clear, I'm not mocking any of these styles, right? They can look good in the right situation with the right person. I've seen it happen. There was a reason I wanted to wear those outfits. It's just I had no sense of self-awareness of to what actually would look good on me.
Yeah.
All right, I think we get some. So any of our prom outfits or the duct tape outfit, I think what is good. We're set.
Listeners, if you wore something completely ridiculous to prom, please send us.
I would love to see it. Please tag us.
We'll make a video.
Yeah. Honestly, I will do that. I'll make a reel or TikTok on it and showcasing the awkward prom photos of my followers. That'd be great.
Or bar mitzvah.
Or bar, anything. I think anything where you were dressing up nicely. Great. Question thrice. I am going on my first date. Can you tell me your worst date ever to help ease my fears? This is really a bad advice. I think this is actual genuine good question. I think we can bend the rules right here and give actual real life, if you're comfortable sharing, story that we've got.
It's like we're giving an example of bad advice happening, not necessarily giving it ourselves.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. There have been a lot of people who have been on bad dates with me. And I have been on some bad dates. They're not always exactly the same. One time I just moved to New York and I went all the way down to Brooklyn to meet up with this girl who was like super late. Just kind of spaced out the entire time. I was like, we have no chemistry. I can't wait to finish this round of drinks so we can go. She orders another round and I was like, oh, okay, maybe we're vibing and I just can't tell. And she goes on to tell me, she was like, oh, you like Gilmore Girls, right? And famously, I love Gilmore Girls. I proved that it takes place in my hometown mathematically. She was like, who's your favorite of Rory's boyfriends? It's a very complicated question. But she said, mine is Dean. And I was like, this is, you are, there's never been a red flag bigger than this. And the only time I ever had something like maybe weirder or worse is one time I was asked out by a comedian who's like not the least famous comedian. She's really wonderful. We're still kind of in contact. But she was like, oh, like, I definitely want to see you this week, but I'm doing a show at this bar. You don't invite someone to a show as a date because they can't spend that time with you.
Good point.
Right? Like, they're on stage. Like, oh, I'm on a date with myself watching this. And it was a weird crowd. Her set didn't go that great. And so it was just like very strange energy. So you don't want to put too much of the vibe in the hands of something that isn't one of the two of you for a date. That is good advice, although you can't necessarily prevent it.
So I'll share. I made a video about it this a while back. So this is available online, but as we know, that gets shown to 0.0001% of the people that actually follow us on these platforms. So my worst first date was I went on a lot of first dates, and that sounds really bad. But I kind of was always just like, I was very clear to me when I went on a date that it was not going to be like romantic. I was really good at making
friends.
That's
fine.
Yeah, and I've learned it that once again, as I've gotten older, that it was okay. That it, like, I would be like, oh, we make great friends. This is worth. There's no chemistry, and I think I probably could have let some of them marinate, and maybe they would have turned into something. But as a result, I'm literally friends with every single person I've ever gone on a date with. And I've no bad, no real bad experience, but I did have a bad first date. So I can only share the story of the date. And so we went to the most extravagant place you could go, which is the Rainforest Cafe at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. And I know that was a national chain at one point, but you know, there were storms that would go off during dinner. And it was like a whole jungle theme with animals.
Yeah, I worked in a mall.
Okay. So you know. So we go to this extra, and it was, by the way, way more expensive than I could afford. It
of course.
Especially for a forest jungle themed restaurant. We sit down and she orders seafood. As it turns out, she was allergic to shellfish. And as she's eating it, She's like, oh, I normally don't ever get this because I'm allergic. And I was young. I was 19, 20 at this point, and I had no idea even what. I was like, oh, maybe it just means that tomorrow she'll feel a little icky. I didn't know how serious a shellfish allergy could possibly be. She finishes the meal, and we go for a walk on the pier. And it's very romantic with the sounds of seals barking in the background. But we were going to go get some ice cream. And as we're walking, she's looking, she gets very quiet, like almost just at the drop of a hat, she's all of a sudden just extremely quiet and looking worried. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she's like, oh, I'm worried I'm having a really bad reaction to that shellfish. And in my mind, I'm like, what is it? I didn't know what was even happening at this
point. I thought you were joking. What?
And so I was like, oh, okay. Do you want to? Should we can go, like, it's okay. And she's like, no,
do you have an EpiPen?
Right. And she's like, no, I'm fine, I think I'll be fine. And it, but I'm like, she's like starting to break up in hives, and I'm like, let's go. So we go back to my car, and my mom was very important. She always said I should have like an emergency pack in there with like tampons and Band-Aids and Benadryl and anything I could have. And so I gave her some Benadryl, which apparently I found out does nothing really for an actual allergic response. We'll get to that part of the story later. But she said she was feeling better. So we go back for a walk some more. And she's like, oh, no, I think I'm fine now. But she's very clearly not. So we're walking for about 10 more minutes. I'm like, can I please take you home? We can have another date. It's okay. If you like me, that's why so I drive her home, and she says she's feeling a little bit better. Turns out the next day I talked to her, she went to the hospital because she couldn't breathe, and she ended up we went on a few more dates. That was one of those moments where I always look back on that. Was definitely, I don't know if it was anyone's fault, for I guess maybe I don't want to blame, but she did
it was 100% your fault. You brought her to the Rainforest Cafe
where they,
and you expected
they had
to...
seafood on the menu or shellfish at the menu. Anyways, so if my good advice for this person would be that if they tell you they have an allergic reaction to some food on the menu, maybe just kindly say, hey, why don't we get something that you're not
different.
Allergic to? And that's okay.
I'm really curious about the Benadryl thing because I have really bad environmental allergies, and I got the panel when I was a kid, and the doctor came back and was like, hey, you're allergic to shrimp. And I was like, I am not. I eat shrimp all the time. I love it.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, well, shrimp is chemically shaped really similarly to this dust or whatever. So you're probably fine, but one day you might just not be.
Wow.
So make sure you always have Benadryl in your pocket.
So here's my understanding of it. And to anyone listening, remember, go talk to an actual doctor about this. Indeed, we are not medical professionals, either of us, but this is from some...
The fact that people ask us medical advice.
But from an actual medical professional, they told me that one, Benadryl is actually not even... In general, it's an older version of allergy medication that they...
Yeah.
There's even a movement to get it banned, that there's just better ones that you can get out there. But two, what it will do if you're having a true allergic, an anaphylactic allergic reaction, is that it can mask the symptoms, but you still need an EpiPen. You need to actually have the actual treatment. So it can make it worse in the sense that you will convince yourself, oh, this is working, I'm feeling better, and you might spend the time where you should be driving to the hospital thinking, just kind of sitting there watching as the symptoms mask. So this is good advice as I know it, but once again, talk to your doctor. Before we end the show, I like to give my guests an opportunity to leave us with some parting words of good wisdom or good advice, something that either as a creator or as a human being or as whatever has kind of led you to a good place. But before I give you that chance, where can people follow you? How do people look you up online?
I am at This Is Ben Silver everywhere. The answer to the question, who is on Chesco's podcast right now?
This is Ben Silver.
Pretty easy to find.
Perfect.
Pretty easy.
All right. So let's get to it then. Do you have anything? You already shared some earlier good advice before we got to the bad advice section, but do you have any last thing, something that's stuck with you throughout your life or even just through recent years that you think would benefit others to hear?
Yep. Everyone needs to drink more water. If you have ADHD, you need to start your day with protein. If you are assigned female at birth, you almost certainly need more iron in your diet. So just I know that me telling you isn't going to change it. You're still never, we're millennials. No one is going to drink water. We want to die. But that's it. I drink a gallon of water a day or tea. It's the best.
Does
water, protein, iron.
Does a gallon of coffee count?
Do you want good advice or bad advice?
I think that's the answer already.
It's like ocean water. Right. It's more dangerous to drink.
Well, Ben, this has been genuinely fun, especially as you're as we talked a little bit earlier. This is our relationship is not really parasocial in the sense that we've talked through text and through kind of response videos hundreds of, not thousands of times at this point, but it really was nice getting a chance to actually talk to you in person. So thank you for coming on.
Great, thank you so much for having me.
And that was Bad Advice on a Wednesday. If you enjoyed today's show, please please subscribe, share it with your friends, drop a 5-star review. You can always support us financially at patreon.com/thespeechprof. All links of everything we talked about will be available in the show notes, and most importantly, remember, this is intended to be bad advice. Please do not listen to anything we said. I'm sorry.
Okay, dope rhyme slinger, good advice giver. Listen for a second, let me try and paint a picture.